Have you ever been frustrated? I think most of you probably laughed when I just said that because you probably thought about, well, how many times a day do I get frustrated? Whether it's with a coworker, maybe a family member, whatever the circumstance may be, you understand what it's like to get frustrated. Well, today we want to take a look at what the roots of frustration are out of the book of James. Chapter 1. So if you have your Bible or if you don't have it, go grab it. We'll see you in just a moment as we look at the roots of frustration out of the book of James, chapter 1. See you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today. A moment ago, I asked you if you had ever been frustrated before, and I'm sure that that's probably a laughable question because you've probably thought, well, how many times a day has that taken place, and what is the story or the circumstance behind it? Well, today, we're going to take a look at what those roots of frustration are, particularly as they're approached in the Bible in James chapter 1. Now, frustration is a common experience in our lives, as most of us know. They often rise from unmet expectations and poor communication. Man, what a way to go. Think about that for just a minute. You know, what are those unmet expectations? And when our expectations aren't met by somebody else, then what happens is we often wind up finding ourselves, incredibly frustrated. And then so often that happens because there's a lack of communication. Now, it can affect our relationships, it can affect our work, and it can truly affect our spiritual walk. So we're going to explore the roots of frustration and discover how we can respond with patience and with understanding as we're guided by biblical principles. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of James, chapter 1. We're going to be specifically looking at verses 19 and 20. Read along with me as we read James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we're grateful and thankful that you give us these moments to be able to ponder your word. Lord, today I pray that you would help us as we endeavor to get through these times of frustration. Lord, as frustration comes upon our lives, I pray that you will help us to pause and to have understanding and to digress and go to your word that we might find the answer to our dilemmas along the way. So, Father, today we pray that you will draw us close as we're around your word. We pray that you will help us as we lift you up. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as your messenger, that the words that come forth today truly would be your words and not just mere man's words, particularly mine. So, Lord, use this time to speak to your children as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so as we look at the book of James, a couple things we need to think about concerning the book of James. James is often considered to be a a guide of practical Christian living. That'd be a good way to say it. If you had to kind of put a title on that, most people would say it's a guide to practical Christian living. Now James was a leader in the early church, and he was the brother of Jesus, and he addresses issues that are relevant to believers striving to live out their faith in a very challenging world. So when you think about that context of the time of the writing of James, look at our context today. We're striving, to live out the life of a believer in a world that is very, very challenging around us. Now, in these verses that we looked at today, James focuses on the importance of controlling our emotions and our responses, and he's emphasizing the value of patience and listening. Now, I want you to highlight those two words for just a few moments. We're going to get into them a little bit deeper, but notice what it says. He is emphasizing the value of patience and of listening. Now, a lot of us are not very patient people, are we? Patience, the old saying says, patience is a virtue. Well, sometimes people would say, we're not very virtuous people because we don't have a lot of patience. I've always said be very, very careful when it comes down to patience, because a lot of times people say, well, I'm asking the Lord for patience. I said, well, how's that going for you? And they say, well, it just seems like there's more and more stuff that comes my way. And I've always stated it like this. You know how you get good at something? You get good at something because you practice it. So if you want to get good at patience, God's probably going to allow you a whole lot of practice along the way. So I always find it better to just pray for wisdom rather than patience and let the patience come in itself. But remember, in the book of James, that's one of the things in being able to deal with the frustrations of life. We have to be patient, and we have to be good listeners, okay? Frustration often stems from life's unpredictability and the contrast between our expectations and what reality really is. What happens is we become frustrated when things don't go as planned or when people fail to meet our expectations, and then what happens is generally communication breaks down, and what happens is when communication breaks down, it begins to amplify that feeling of frustration. And when that happens, that leads to anger, which leads to resentment, and you could see how this snowball effect just keeps on taking place and just keeps on happening. Now, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, that's what provides us the insight into the roots of frustration. Yeah, all of us know that if you've got a weed in your yard, the only way you're going to be able to get rid of that weed is you're going to have to get to the root of it. You could cut the top of it off all day, and then a couple days later you go back, particularly after a good summer rain, and then that weed is bigger than it was before. You have got to get to the roots of the situation to be able to handle it. So James 1, 19 and 20 provides us insight into what the roots of frustration are, okay? The abomination, or the admonition, as it were, is this. You know, what is an admonition? It's a, what is it that we should do? So we ask ourselves that question all the time. When you find yourself in the midst of frustration and you sit back and say, what am I going to do? If you can pause long enough to not let emotions take over, you know, there is an admonition to you. And here's the admonition that comes out of the words of our text today. It is to be swift to hear. What does that mean? Be swift to hear. That suggests that listening can prevent misunderstandings. Now, all of us have probably been in a situation where there was some frustration. Maybe it was with a boss, maybe a coworker. And what happened was they had jumped to a conclusion. Maybe it was you. Maybe you jumped to a conclusion. And there was no communication. You didn't talk about the situation to find out what was going on. Later on, after everything simmered down a little bit and you guys had a chance to talk about things, you found out that there was misunderstanding, and that misunderstanding was leading to the frustration that you were experiencing. And then maybe if you were honest with yourself, you took a step back and said, you know what, maybe if I would have listened a little bit closer or listened a little bit better to what was taking place, then I would have been able to have sorted through this without all the frustration and without anger and without everything that accompanies that situation that's not healthy. It's just not healthy. So the suggestion that we're getting out of our scripture today is that listening is a big part of preventing misunderstandings and being slow to speak. This is another admonition. Slow to speak encourages us to think before we respond. Okay. How many times has somebody said that to you in your life? I used to love an expression that my dad used to use when I was growing up. He said, don't let your alligator mouth override your hummingbird brain. In other words, yet stop and consider. Be careful. Before you get frustrated, get all the facts. Make sure that you are communicating. Do not just go towards somebody. Notice what it says, be slow to speak. That means take the time to think the circumstance and think the situation through. Be sure to communicate. Make sure you have all of the data and all the facts before you let an emotional experience be triggered that is not going to be healthy for you or those that you are attempting to deal with or to communicate with. So the word tells us that we need to be slow to speak, meaning that we need to think before we respond. Because when we do, when we stop and when we think, that reduces, you know, some impulsive reactions along the way. As I was reading and preparing for today's Bible study, I was thinking about two guys. It was two brothers, and one thought the other brother was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing, and It was something that was affecting this brother. And I still remember he was trying to catch him one day, and his brother walked in, and the first thing that he said when his brother turned the lights on was, "Aha!" And then he began to talk about, you know, what all he thought was taking place and what all was going on. And finally, when the brother explained to him what was taking place, and the brother that was accusing the other brother basically, you know, sat back and realized that all of his thoughts were unfounded and were ungrounded. And I still remember that the brother that had been accused, you know, said, or the one that was making the accusation said to his brother, he says, "Well, at what point did I just totally make a fool out of myself?" And then the brother that was being accused said, "Well, I think it was the moment when you said, 'Aha,' because that was the first thing that he said when he walked in." So we need to be very careful that we don't allow those frustrations, that we don't allow those lack of communications, and we don't allow our lack of hearing to cause us to be quick to be accusative, to be quick to speak out before we think things through. We need to think before we respond, and that reduces the impulsive reaction of just pulling the quick trigger. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you may have even been classified as one who has a very quick trigger when it comes down to things such as frustration. So another thing that we want to look at is the word also tells us to be slow to wrath. So being slow to wrath acknowledges that anger fueled by frustration brings separation from the righteousness that God desires in our lives. This is not healthy for our spiritual life. Proverbs 14:29 also states, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." That's what the word tells us. So impulsiveness leads to frustration, which leads to folly, while patience is something that fosters understanding. So are we being patient with the people that we deal with? Now, I know, listen, in today's day and age and the way some people are, that is a huge, huge ask of you to be patient with somebody. But yet the word tells us we need to be patient with our fellow brothers and sisters and the people that we interact with. Yeah, why? Because patience fosters understanding. When you sit back and when you hear what somebody has to say, sometimes you may not understand what all is taking place because maybe you don't understand what it is that they are going through. And then being able to hear their story, all of a sudden you have a far better understanding of why they're doing what they're doing, why they are acting like they're acting, and it brings about understanding in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that it's right, wrong, indifferent, or otherwise, but it means you now understand why somebody is maybe frustrating you because of what they're doing. If it is something they're doing wrong, having that patience and understanding will help them to be able to take steps in the right direction. Whereas there may be some points where you sit back and say, "You know what, I really didn't realize that, you know, this person just lost, you know, a spouse, or this person just lost a parent, and there's a lot that they're going through." Knowing, communicating, and understanding will certainly help bring some understanding in your life. And it may also help you to adjust what your expectations are, okay? So now that we know these things, according to what the book of James tells us, you know, in regard to being able to deal with frustration, what do we do with what we've just learned, okay? To manage frustration effectively, there are certain things that we must do. The first thing that we must do is examine our expectations. Man, I cannot tell you how many times that when I do premarital counseling with couples, this is one of the biggest things that we do. We talk about what are your expectations. Because see, folks, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that most people get miffed because of unfulfilled expectations. So you have to ask yourself, are your expectations real? I mean, are they, I don't want to say doable, because there needs to be some challenge along the way. Let me give you an example. There have been times when I've sat down with a couple and, you know, she works at Walmart and, you know, he works over at the local convenience store. And I'll ask them, say, well, what are your plans for the next year? What are your plans for the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? And if they say, well, I see us living in a million-dollar home, and I see us, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, is that a realistic plan? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to shoot people's dreams down or anything else. But the first plan needs to be, let's find us a job that would be able to support a million-dollar home and to be able to support three kids and two dogs. So we have to examine as to whether or not our expectations are real. Are they realistic? You know, is what I am expecting of the person in my life, is it a realistic expectation? Is what they're expecting of me a realistic expectation? I love how in our day and age, that's part of the reason why we have job descriptions. Job descriptions are put forth so that you will understand what the expectations are. In other words, if I hire you, here are my expectations of you in this particular role with our company or whatever else it may be. By the same token, it lets you know what is expected of you, and they need to be very realistic expectations. So if we're going to manage effectively frustration in our lives, we're going to have to examine our expectations, and we're going to need to determine if they are realistic expectations. And not only are they realistic, do they align with God's will? That is first and foremost. Yeah, are my expectations in accordance with what God says my expectations should be? Are they in line with His will? And see, then we also must strive for a very clear and open communication. So many things happen because of a lack of communication, and I don't know why it is, but it seems like as time goes by, we have become a society that communicates less and less and less, even though we have more and more and more tools. You need to sit back and you need to talk with people about things. You know, I always liken it to saying, you know, Jana may send me a message and say, bring home spaghetti sauce. And I'm like, okay, what brand? How much? What size? All these different things so that I don't come back with the wrong spaghetti sauce, the wrong size. You know, are we feeding Pharaoh's army tonight or is it just me and you? There's data that you need. And you have to have open communication. Because what happens if Jana tells me, hey, I want you to bring home spaghetti sauce, and then I come in with a little jar about this big, and there's going to be four people there tonight. Well, that can create some frustration with her. But then again, my whole thing is going to be, you didn't tell me what kind. You didn't tell me what size. You didn't tell me how many to bring. So we need to make sure that we are communicating on both ends of the spectrum. You know, not only when you are asking somebody to do something, you need to clearly communicate those things, but when you have been asked to do something, you also need to communicate to determine, what are the expectations? You know, when it comes down to these things, what are the expectations? What is somebody expecting of me to be able to fulfill this command in a way that is reasonable and realistic? So, you know, like I said before, Jana, you can't get mad at me for bringing home just a little jar because all you said was bring home spaghetti sauce. I did. Well, we need to make sure that we're clearly communicating and what our expectations of each other are. Now, by actively listening and responding with thoughtfulness, we can prevent many, many misunderstandings. So when you're thinking about it, like on my end, and she says, hey, will you bring home spaghetti sauce? A lot of times I'll start asking those questions. What size spaghetti sauce do you want? What brand of spaghetti sauce do you want? How many ounces is that? You know, how many of them do you need? Do you just need one? Do you need two or three or what have you? And I know it may sound, you know, redundant, but I don't want to show up with the wrong thing. And that's just a quick, clear example of an everyday thing where frustration could happen. You know, I mean, how many times, you know, I come home and if I set that little jar of spaghetti sauce up there and, you know, it'd be real easy for Jana to look around and say, there's four people here. How are we going to feed four people with this amount of spaghetti sauce? And my thing's going to be, I did what you asked me to do. You told me to bring spaghetti sauce. You didn't tell me how much. You didn't tell me any of these things. Let's make sure that we communicate because that is step one in being able to prevent the frustrations that often happen with us, particularly on a communicable level with family members, spouses, co-workers, bosses, whoever it may be. Now, the second thing we need to do is we need to prioritize prayer and reflection when frustration arises, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 advises us to bring our requests to God with thanksgiving, allowing His peace to guard our hearts, okay? Practice empathy. There's that big word. Practice empathy by placing ourselves in others' shoes, realizing that everyone has their struggles. I always like to say it like this. Everybody has a story. And sometimes you may not know why people function the way that they do, but when you take the time to know their story, all of a sudden you have those aha moments when you're like, oh, now I understand why you do what you do when it comes to this particular thing, because now it all makes sense. So practice empathy. Practice placing yourself into somebody else's shoes. Find out what their struggles are. Find out what their stories are, particularly if you are in a management position. This is a great way to be able to help somebody through the struggles that they're having. And this approach also aligns with Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, which urges us to show compassion, kindness, and patience. Man, then we follow what God's word says, and what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that is. So as you think about those things and as that frustration arises, you know, take the deep breath. I mean, don't let the frustration grab you very quickly. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it takes a tremendous amount of effort not to go off emotionally when something frustrates you. But when something frustrates you, take that deep breath, start communicating. Start seeing if there's misunderstanding. Start seeing whether or not your expectations of that person are very real expectations or whether they're not. Remember what I said to start our Bible study. Most people get miffed or frustrated because of unfulfilled expectations, whether they're yours or whether they're somebody else's. So you need to clearly communicate what those expectations are, and that helps the frustration level come way, way down. So folks, bottom line is simply this. Frustration is a part of life, no matter how you slice it. But we're not helpless in the face of it. I mean, we've got some tools that God has given us. By anchoring ourselves in God's word, by adjusting our expectations, by improving our communication, and by practicing patience, we can tackle frustration very effectively. This not only brings us closer to others, but it will align us more closely with God's desire for our lives. So let me ask you this. How are you doing in the area of frustration? Is it grabbing hold of you, or are you being able to grab hold of it and manage it? Okay? So remember those things. Remember what we've learned from God's word today. Are you anchoring yourself in God's word? Are you allowing that word to get into you so that it can get out of you? Are you adjusting your expectations based on what you know or do not know about people? Are your expectations of others realistic? You know what? Sometimes you may, as you get to know somebody, as you communicate a little bit more, you may realize that you're putting over expectations on somebody, and you may need to lighten that load a little bit. Okay, and the only way that you can do that is by the other practical tip that we get, by improving our communication, by being able to sit down and talk about these things, and doing so not in an accusative manner, but in an exploratory manner, trying to find out, you know, okay, where did this go wrong? Where was there miscommunication? Was there miscommunication? Is that why we're where we are? Let's make sure we don't get into those places again that make not only you, but those that you're dealing with frustrated. And then, you know what that also means? That means that when the wheels come off of it, that means when all of a sudden, you get that, you hear what's going on. Our first step usually is just to want to explode. We need to practice being patient with other people. And by doing these things, these simple things that we learn from God's word, we can effectively take care of the frustrations in our lives. And like I said a moment ago, it will not only bring us closer to the other people, but it'll also align us more closely with God's desire for our hearts and for our lives. Let me close our time today in a word of prayer, and then I'll tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you seeking understanding, Father, and seeking patience in our daily lives. Lord, I pray that you will help us to listen more and speak less, that we might honor you in all of our interactions. Lord, I pray that you will guide us to manage our expectations and to communicate with love and with clarity. Lord, I pray that you will fill us with your peace, overcoming our frustrations, Lord, with your grace. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, I'll tell you what we're going to be looking at for this next week. We're actually going to be next week continuing our series on transforming turmoil. We talked about the fact that everybody has turmoil in our lives, and I subtitled our series Finding Peace in the Storm. So frustration is the one that we talked about today. Next week, which is going to be week 3 of our studies, we're going to look at the poison of bitterness. You know, all of us have had some bitterness in our lives before, whether we dealt with it properly or not. We're going to look at what the Word of God tells us about that. So I want you to spend some time this week in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and then next week we're going to look at the poison of bitterness out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. We're going to examine how bitterness can take root in our heart and the importance of seeking reconciliation and forgiveness to prevent spiritual decay in our lives. So I hope and trust and pray you'll be read up and that you will join us for the Wednesday Bible study this time next week. And also, as always, we'd like to invite you to join us in person for services at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our service times are at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We also have multiple opportunities throughout the week for discipleship, for men, for women, for children, and we certainly would love to have you come by and worship with us in spirit and in truth. So I hope and trust and pray that I will see you this Sunday. God bless. ¶¶